We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Thank you for listening to Spin, the Rally Pod, brought to you by Dirtfish Rally School. For your chance to experience life behind the wheel of a rally car, head to drive.dirtfish.com to find the course that's right for you. What are you waiting for? We're right here waiting for you.
Hello and welcome to a very special edition of Spin the Rally Pod. My name is Luke Barry, but today I'm joined by far two more interesting individuals. One on my right.
Hi, I'm John Armstrong. I'm a game designer on EA Sports WRC.
And to my left.
Hi, I'm Ross Gowing. I'm Senior Creative Director on EA Sports WRC.
How professional was that? Have you boys practiced your name details by any chance? That was slick.
We have we've been on quite the media campaign, and so introducing ourselves, talking about anything to do with the game, and everything in between. We are well rehearsed, don't you worry.
Well, it's an incredibly exciting time. Just for a complete context, we're at Codemasters HQ just now, just a couple weeks before the launch of EA Sports WRC. By the time this comes out, the game will be out for you all to enjoy yourself. I've had a quick practice today. I wasn't maybe so good at it, but we can't all be champions to start with, John.
Well, you know, you were improving. That's the main thing. There was a couple of trees that you tried to chop down. But, yeah, I think that's the great thing about the game is that, you know, the feedback you get from the controller, the wheel, quickly you get to grips with everything. So, yeah, you were improving. Now I'm a little bit worried about our challenge. I think you might be giving me a run for my money. So let's see.
Now, there will be a video on our YouTube channel to check out there. So please do that when you get the chance. But today we're going to go through mainly lots of the new elements, what's exciting about this new game. But before we do, boys, and I've not told you I'm doing this because it's more fun that way, I've got what I've called 5 warm-up questions for you, just so I and the listeners can get to know you a bit better. I suspect, Ross, you're potentially lesser known to our rally audience than maybe John is. So I'm going to start with you. Favourite rally driver?
If I've got to choose someone other than John, then I'll give it a little bit of thought. So Colin McRae obviously is the standout there. I was lucky enough to meet Jimmy a few years ago when we were making the Colin McRae flat out pack for our previous game. Obviously, Codemasters' history with the McRae name is an incredible thing. For my starter for one, I'll go for Colin.
That's a very good choice. John, you can't pick yourself because that would be a bit strange. Who's your favourite railway driver?
That would be weird to choose myself. Well, I think growing up in UK and Ireland, a lot of people in my era with the Colin McRae rally game as well. He was a big hero. But then in more recent years, I actually initially didn't really like Sebastian Loeb because he dominated the sport for so long, and I just wanted a thin of some description to beat him. Yeah. Of more recent years, I've really appreciated what he'd done and what he achieved. So Sebastian Loeb's another big one.
He's an inspiration to those of us of slightly more advancing years as well. To be able to do a backflip at any point over the age of 30, I mean, I'm just in awe of that.
Yeah, I've never been able to do one since about the age of 5 until now. I still can't do it. I'm too scared of the wrist, to be fair. It's not really what I do. Favourite rally car, Ross?
In the game or ever?
You... I would say ever, but let's stay on brand. Let's see, because you've got pretty much every single rally car in history in the game.
We've tried our best to do a who's who. So it's one I've rolled out in a couple of other interviews I've done as well. I'm proudest of having Vauxhall Nova in the game. Might not have been the world conquering machine that some of the other selections could have been. But it's the road going car was just everywhere when I was a teenager. Everyone had one, nice to get it in game. I'll go with that as my pick.
It's a good answer. I know you're a fan of a Nova as well, John. But are you going to pick the same as Ross?
Or he hates it when I steal his answers.
Yeah, we always have this little bicker about that was my answer, but the Nova's cool. It's my first rally car, but my favourite rally car ever, if it was a WRC car, which is WRC game, is the Citroën C4 WRC.
Okay.
I don't know why, like, Rally Ireland happened whenever I was younger, so I was on the ditches watching that. It was like when I first got close to World Rally Cars, and the noise from that car is just insane, so I would always like to try to drive one of them if I ever got the opportunity. That'd be really cool.
Yeah.
Just the pinnacle for me. I know there's probably better rally cars out there, but that one was super successful as well.
No, it's a good choice. It's a good choice. Another, it's in the game as well. So again,
mm-hmm, it's in the game. Yeah, you can have a go.
We'll go around to you, John, first, just so that Ross can't take your answers. Favorite rally?
Oh, that's a tough one. If we try to think about in game, keep it on brand as well. It's a tough one. I really like Rally Croatia. It's a very demanding event, very tricky. I like tarmac, so we'll go with that one.
Ross, are you going to... I'm curious, are you two just like two peas in a pod here? Are we going to go for exactly
the same? We try not to be, it gets a bit weird. I'll go out of game. One I had a fantastic time attending was Rally GB.
Yeah.
Got soaked to the bone. Took a long time to get there. Took a long time to get back. But had a fantastic time. I'll go with that.
It's a good answer. If it was me, I know I'm not meant to answer these questions, but I don't know if either of you were aware of Rally of Scotland that happened for about 3 years, I think. Late 2000s, early 2010s, as a Scottish boy, that was... But I never went to it, which I really am kicking myself for now because it doesn't exist anymore. But it's one of those things, there's always next year, and then there wasn't a next year. So there's a life lesson.
S2000 cars as well, which are super cool.
Yeah. And we have them in the game.
Yeah.
You boys are good at this. That's impressive. This one's maybe a little bit contentious. Favourite Codemasters rally game?
Can I just pick the ones I've worked on?
You can.
Dirt Raid 2, working on that. It's our most recent one before this. It was the first one that I was creative lead on. I felt at the time it was the best rally game ever made. That would be my first pick. So going back a little bit further, Dirt 3, actually, so that was the first rally game I ever worked on, and I just remember being in awe of the studio around me and the talent of everyone working. So that was a highlight. And then going back all the way on PlayStation, there was some games you just sink all of your childhood into, and Colin McRae Rally on the PS1 was one of those games. It was always sort of a juggling act between that and Destruction Derby for car-related entertainment. Those three probably stand out. Oh, an honourable mention to Network Q Rally on the PC,
after my own heart here.
I was playing it on a keyboard, and it was just... It was just the most insanely difficult thing in the world. It was one of the first driving games I'd ever had. Obviously, didn't have anywhere near the right setup to be playing it. But I think that was the start of my kind of love for rally games. Really,
that's interesting, and it's good to know that you're a part of a talented team that worked on Dirt 3 as well. So I can blame you for me spending my entire summer holidays when I was at school. I can't remember what age I was, but just sinking hour upon hour into Dirt 3. For some reason, that was one I played more than others, but
Well, it's funny actually, because I remember when John first joined the team, part of the sort of the interview and the discussion was asked, what did you enjoy about our games in the past? And he was like, I used to love getting home from school and playing Dirt Rally 3. It's like, oh, I feel so old.
John, for you, are you going to go with one? You've not worked in as many games as Ross, but EA Sports WRC isn't your first. Are you going to pick one you've worked on, or a bit more nostalgic, or both?
It's a bit different for me. I'm quite new to the games industry. I worked on Dirt Rally 2.0, and that was really fun, a really great game. But going back to when I was younger, like I grew up around when rally games were essentially invented, like the first ones, Colin McRae Rally, the first one on the PlayStation 1. I think I was about 5 maybe when that came out, and I remember playing it I think it was like a New Year's Eve party or something. I was just stuck in the other bedroom on the PlayStation playing, and I just thought it was so cool, and probably a bit of that inspired me to go down the route that I've went with rallying and wanting to do it in real life is part of what games inspired in me as a young child. So I think another cool game, which is it's not a Codemasters one, is I think it's Mobile Rally Championship. The one with the orange cover, yeah. And the Ibiza on the front. That was a really cool game. So
that had my house in it. That did.
It had your house.
I had my house in it. I was 6 years old, and this is as you can imagine the most exciting thing. We had this disc. Sorry, we're not. But I feel like we shouldn't be talking about a non-Codemasters game. But we had this disc, and we didn't have a computer that it would work with. So we finally got him. My dad comes home. He's always been putting the hours of practice in to make it seem like he was quite good at it. He wasn't really. He's one of those that thought going fast meant not using the brakes.
You were doing that today as well.
We don't talk about that. Like father, like son. But I lived on the Jim Clark Rally. It's an event in Scotland, and it had the stage I was living on was in that game. Now, it wasn't, obviously, this is 1990s technology, so nothing like the kind of realism you're getting in EA Sports WRC, but for a little six-year-old to drive past your own house in a game was mental.
Make sure you claim some retrospective licensing royalties as well. Probably worth a few quid now.
It could be, yeah. Final warm-up question. Best thing about the new game that's coming out?
Oh, the sheer scale of it, I think. It's like 3 times the size of what we launched Dirt Rally 2 with. It's like 17 locations with 600 kilometres of stages in it, and best part of 80 cars. It's enormous. So that is one of the best things about it. The other best thing is that we've pushed ourselves even further than Dirt Rally 2. We listened to a lot of community feedback after that game, obviously tarmac handling being a big piece of that, and the way that the team have got on top of that, pushed it further, got it feeling exceptional. Really, really proud of that. So yeah, scale and evolution, I think, are my two best things.
That's a tough act to follow, John, but you're up.
It is. We've got so many cool new features as well. We've got the builder mode where you can build your own rally car, choose where to place the engine, and then fiddle about with every little component, change your bonnet pins, change the front bumper, the spoiler. It's a cool mode just to get in and do something a bit different. And it gives you that ownership over that car. And I always say, when you start rallying, you start with a car that's maybe not a homologated car, or it's one that you've worked on yourself. So it does give you that little bit of feeling that you've built something, and then you take it to the stages and you just thrash it down the stage then and try to keep control of it. So it's very cool. But, as Ross said, it's that on-track experience that we've really pushed, whether that's the length of the stages, the amount of sheer detail that are in the stages, and the cars and the handling is so intuitive. There's so much feedback from whether you're on steering wheel, whether you're on controller. You can really feel what the car is doing, and it just gives you that sense of power and control, and sort of dancing on the edge of grip. It just gives me that sensation of being in the rhythm of rally. So yeah, I think I might have came up with a new marketing term there, rhythm of rally.
Good work.
Yeah, so but yeah, it's just, it gives me that sensation of what it feels like to do it in real life. And I think that's, if we can give that to other people, it's you know, job done.
Yeah. Well, I think this is the most exciting part for me, and it's not to discredit anybody that has had the official WRC license before, but I think I speak for the entire rally and games community that the marriage between the Codemasters Studio and the official WRC license has been something we've all been praying would somehow happen. Now it's finally here. Ross, if you can just take us back to when that was first, when you guys first knew you were going to be doing this, the deal was done, how excited, but also how, I guess, nervous. There was a lot of work to do at that point to get to where we are now.
Yeah, I mean, it was an interesting one, actually, because, I mean, we'd started working on a lot of stuff before the license paperwork was fully signed. And, you know, we knew we wanted to take things further after Dirt Rally 2, and so the team had set to work. And then when the license landed, it was, yeah, like a real sit-up moment for us. And that I think you said it yourself, you know, that marriage between a studio that makes games at the quality we do and the you know, the pinnacle of the sport. Match made in heaven. And working with WRC Promoter has been great. You know, previously we've always had to sort out our own research trips, whereas WRC Promoter are like, well, here is every onboard of every rally ever. And do you need our photographers to do anything else for you? Anytime we've needed anything from any of the manufacturer teams, or any team in any category, in fact, they put us straight in touch. It really has opened so many doors, and obviously doing it justice has pushed the team further than ever before as well. You know, no longer are we the ones making the rules for what our game should be. We've got this massively important partner and license holder on that journey with us. So yeah, it's I know it was a lot of years in the making with a lot of people doing a lot of paperwork, then it turns up and we're like, brilliant, we'll make the game now. So
you mentioned, I guess, doing things, I don't know how I word this properly, but you've got an officially licensed product. You've got, not the Colin McRae Rally, Dirt Rally, they have a core rally base, but this, you're representing an entire sport essentially with this. So does that add extra pressure, I guess, to what you're doing? Is there more weight on your shoulders to get it right, or would you guys have that anyway?
I think it does keep us on our toes. It's not been like an insurmountable amount of pressure. We've not had people freaking out or anything, which is, you know, is good. You know, you want to do your best for the license, and that's something that everybody on the team's really, really got behind. And it's nice to be able to represent the championship properly, and not, you know, you're not trying to make up your own championship and say, what can a career mode be, but we can only structure competitions in a way that is not ripping off WRC. Now we can go, oh, well, let's do it exactly how it's done. And that, you know, that has been a really good thing for us, actually.
John, for you, I know you haven't worked on too many games, but is this the first time you've been involved in one from the very, very start? Yeah. So, essentially, is it a blank sheet of paper? Tell us about your role in this entire process of making an official WRC game.
Yeah, it's my first full rodeo as such, from start to finish, and seeing, you know, how the initial design phase, which I'm, you know, involved in, I'm in the design team, so that was really interesting to be involved in, just to see like how we come up with the vision of where we want to take the game in the future, and what features we want to introduce. It was quite interesting, but also, as Ross pointed out, you know, we were already looking at how we were going to progress, and then we got the WRC license, and then it was a case of, okay, we can progress how we wanted to, and then we're going to make this official WRC game with all of the official cars content, and we're going to make it the best rally game ever. In terms of, you know, the how we wanted to progress the on-track experience. You know, we had clear goals that we wanted to improve on, you know, with the tarmac handling. We've introduced more aerodynamic tech. We've introduced new drivetrain. So yeah, it's almost like we just done what we always done, but we done it with WRC.
Yep.
And they didn't want to change us. They wanted us to just do what we always do, make the best rally experience, and yeah, recreate what they have.
Yeah, before we, oh sorry, Ross, go on.
So that level of support that John's just said there, that has been brilliant. Like, WRC haven't meddled at all. They just love hearing about what we're doing. So you know, I have regular meetings with them, and their enthusiasm to see what we're going to show them next has been like a, you know, a real highlight of the project. And like I say, it's only been help from their side. There's been no interference, and you know, so that creates the perfect relationship between, you know, developer and licensor. So yeah, happy days.
Match made in heaven, as we
said,
isn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All rallying, one source. By now, you know that dirtfish.com is the place to go for all of your rallying news. But when it's time to try your hand behind the wheel, just join us here at Dirtfish Rally School, nestled in the Cascade Mountains in Snoqualmie, Washington. Whether you're a pro seeking extra seat time or a novice looking to get started, we've got programs tailored to all rallying needs. And when you want to watch the best in the world, just head over to our YouTube channel. Our coverage of the WRC and American rallying is second to none. Follow us at Dirtfish Rally across all social media platforms and shop the latest looks in our merchandise store now. As always, rally on.
Now, before we dive into some more of the features in depth, and it sounds really simple, and this is open to either of you, whoever feels more comfortable to answer the question, but what is new for EA Sports WRC compared to what you've done before? What's new beyond the obvious with obviously the licensing? What's new in this game, or what's improved?
We can probably take it in turns because there's so much. But so one thing that John mentioned earlier, the builder mode. Now that I think is brand new for any licensed motorsport title. And it was terrifying to start development on. I distinctly remember the first meeting that ever announced it to the team, and the look on people's faces of, oh my goodness, how are we going to make that?
So was it your idea?
So I can only take credit for the initial seed of the idea. All of the real hard work has been done by all of the teams. So it was sort of, it was something I had a few thoughts about, announced it without having really thought it through properly to the team. It affected about 10, 12 internal departments. And then to start the process of having the meetings with each of those departments all together, saying, well, how can we do that? What bits of our work pipeline do we have to change? How much building? How long is that going to take? Da, 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 da. Seeing that evolve was just amazing. To go from something that was impossible on first contact to now it's in game and it's awesome has been incredible. The handling team have completely pulled apart the way they work to achieve it. The vehicle art team had to do something radically different because, you know, most of our licensed cars are built all as one by one artist. You know, sometimes you have two, one working on interior, one on exterior. But for them to go, right, we need to go fully modular. All these pieces need to interconnect. Really go back to the fundamentals of how they do their craft to achieve it has been brilliant. And then the 10 other departments, I can't list them all by name now because I'll miss someone out and everyone will get upset. Builder is one of the proudest things in the game for sure. And now I'll let John have a go for a bit.
So we'll get one of the features that I worked on.
are taking the credit for this already.
No, as Ross said, it takes a lot of different departments of people that collaborate on any feature in the game. The Rally School is something we've had a little bit in our previous game, so we wanted to try and bring that back for new players to learn the basics of, yeah, how do I drive a car in a rally car. And then each lesson gets a little bit more difficult, going up through different techniques that you need to know. And then the final lesson is like put it all together now on a time test. So it's a very cool feature in that it does give you like a breakdown of what you did right and what you did maybe not so good. And
I like how you're smiling at me when you said that. That worries me.
Yeah, I'm gonna point you to the rally school. But yeah, it just gives you that feedback on what you've done correct in this lesson and what you failed on, and then you can restart and practice as many times as you want. You can try it on all three different types of main surfaces in the game. It's a nice feature for players to get the grips with rally.
The scratch on the surface, I think a key point of this game as well is it's a very difficult thing to manage, I imagine, to get a game that really appeals to the hardcore audience that want the most realistic rally simulator ever, but also those that maybe are learning about rally games or learning about rally or maybe not as confident to drive at the level. Finding that balance must have been incredibly difficult.
It was one of the big goals for the game was how do we get more people to see what rallying is all about and to have a good time doing it. Because you're absolutely right, you know, if we look back to Dirt Rally, incredibly difficult, challenging experience, but something that experienced players absolutely loved. You know, so it was as close as they could get to driving a rally car, but in a game. We said, well, it would be lovely if other people who were less experienced could also have as much fun with it. And trying to open the doors to new players, it's something we've worked really hard on. So Rally School is one part of that. The kind of the suite of assists that we've offered as well. I know John threw you in the deep end on your runs and didn't let you have any assists on. But other people are allowed to use them. And we have things like throttle clamping so that you can't just stick the pedal to the metal and lose it on the first corner. And, you know, it'll feed the power in for newer players, give them a little bit more control. I mean, the focus testing results on that were quite incredible, really. And with it on the maximum setting, newer players were able to play with some of the Group B cars and actually make it some distance down the stages before the first mishap. So that was really encouraging. And then when you add in things like stability control, traction control, ABS, the step forward we've seen in inexperienced people being able to control the cars has been remarkable. And then when you put on top simplified co-driver calls, because we have our kind of standard / advanced co-driver calls as they're written in the real world, because I mean John wrote them all, so we added a simplified version of those, because you know they're quite a complex thing to get your head around. Someone talking at you while trying to play any video game is a challenging thing, but then all of a sudden to be a new player trying to learn to drive off or on a loose surface and then ingest all of the instructions from the co-driver, massive challenge. So by simplifying those, I think we've given people a big step up there as well.
I think one of the things that I'm personally most excited about in this game is the Moments mode. Not just because it exists, but I was speaking before we recorded this, and there's about 300 of them coming to the game, which is quite a task for you guys. But just explain to us, John, what that is and why it's cool, I guess.
It's something that was inspired from Dirt Rally 2, in when we had the Colin McRae flat out pack, where you could live through some of the most famous moments from his career. And we thought about how that could be brought into WRC. And we also had our daily challenges from Dirt Rally 2 as well. And they were something that dropped every day that players could play. So that's sort of what we have, is challenges inspired by the real world. There's also some fictional ones that are inspired by things we would think would be really cool for the player to do. And it just means that every day there's a new challenge that the player can do that's inspired by these incredible events that you'll know from Rally Folklore or from what you've seen at the weekend on the WRC. You can go and do it yourself and try to recreate what they did, or you know, try to finish a stage with damage that has been inflicted by a crash that that driver just had in real life. So yeah, it's a really cool mode. It's something a bit different than the rest of the game, in that you've got like you know, almost purposely set up you know, damage and objectives to to complete. So yeah, it's very cool, and I think people enjoy it, and you know, we enjoy coming up with them. we're just like constantly looking at old archives of rally, trying to have inspiration, and we've got so many different types of moments now.
Every time I look at the design page for it, I'm like, goodness, we've got about 20 years worth of material here. We now just need to pick the best bits for this one. And it's a great mode for if you're short on time, and you know, the game's a big game. It's difficult sometimes to choose what to play. But if you just fire up moments, there'll be something there right away that is like, brilliant. There's a car and location combination I haven't played before. Oh, here's what I've got to do. Great. Nice mix of the short, medium routes for most of the week as it drops. And I think we have one long one every week, don't we? For, you know, when you've got not much to do at the weekend. But yeah, it's underpinned with some video footage as well from rally.tv. We really want to be able to educate people about the sport and the history of WRC as well. So much has happened over the last 50 years. If you've never heard of the sport before and you pick up this game for the first time, or, you know, someone buys it for you for Christmas, hint, hint, then you can get in there and see what the sport's about, all the way back to where WRC formed.
I must say, that's good of you, Ross. We've not known each other very long, but it's nice of you to offer me a Christmas present. As you just did there. Thank you. I'll take it gladly. Maybe in advance. Come on, once in advance. Speaking of all that, though, I guess, as with any game, there is a career mode. That's kind of a staple with most games, particularly racing games. But it gives players here the chance to not just be a rally driver, but be a rally team manager as well. Talk to us a little bit about what's changed with career for this game.
Well, the other great thing is with a combo of builder and career mode, you can actually be the fourth manufacturer in WRC Premier Class, which, you know, is something that really excited us throughout development. So other things that are great about it, you can jump in at any level. So some career modes in some racing games kind of make you start right at the bottom and you spend all your time working your way up. And then by the time you've worked your way up, you're like, oh, spent 200 hours on this now, need to crack on. But we let you go straight in Premier Class if you want, or you can go in Junior or WRC2. You can purchase or build a car. You can then hire a teammate crew as well and sort them out with a vehicle. You have control over which engineers are attached to your team, what training courses you send them on. You have to kind of manage who is going to what events, because you can't just fly the same engineers around the world all the time. I know in real life that does happen a lot and people get very, very tired. But we sort of have turned it into a little bit of a game mechanic there. You can obviously completely define the brand identity for your team. You have to work with a kind of a benefactor character. We've made games in the past where you accumulate a never-ending pot of cash and then you run out of things to spend the cash on, whereas we've changed things a little bit this time and you've instead got the benefactor who kind of manages your budgets for you, and it's up to you to stay within your budgets to make things work. And that was something that, John, I think we had a lot of conversations about when the game design team working on the career design is, what is it like to try and gather together the funds in real life? And
I think it's like inspired a bit how rally is in real life, in that if you have ambitions and you have a bit of talent and you want to go to the highest level of WRC and be a champion, then you'll most likely attract a benefactor who will want to help you either manage investments into you to create a budget so you can make it to WRC. Maybe it's a rich individual who just wants to back you himself. So it's inspired by that sort of angle, which I feel gives it like that authentic feel rather than you've just got an endless pot of money. Because you do have to keep them happy. You know, every week you'll have a report, you know, and you've got objectives to meet on the budget side of things. And if you've overspent on maybe your vehicles or repairs, then that will decrease your how happy the benefactor is with you. So,
so it pays not to bend the car.
Pairs not to bend the car, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They'll lend you a little bit of extra money for a little while, and then they start getting unhappy, then you know that affects your prospects for the next season.
Yeah, if he is unhappy, then you're unlikely to progress to the higher ranks if you started in JWRC or WRC2.
That's really cool. That's a proper level of realism, isn't it? It's not just here's what you do if you get X, or it's almost very tailored to how the individual is performing at the time.
Yeah, that was a big thing for us was, you know, it is a little bit of a new ground creatively. There's not a lot of other games doing that sort of thing. And we thought, well, you know, it brings the reality of the sport into players' hands. And managing that budget across the calendar, across multiple years, and competing in the different competitions we've got in the game. So you have all of your kind of WRC-sanctioned events. We then have some fictional support series, as well as kind of challenges from manufacturers, R&D tests on new parts, and all sorts of things like that. So there's a real variety of things to play in there. You can also change the length of the career as well, which is something else. I mean, even amongst our own team, we have wildly different amounts of time that each of us can commit to playing games. Obviously, you know, people with kids can play less time. And then across our entire player base, I'm sure a ton of people have a ton of different constraints, you know, whether that's jobs, caring for people, etc., etc. And they still want to play the game, still want to enjoy the game, still want to see the best it has to offer. So you go in there and select a kind of shorter career duration. It'll give you shorter events with shorter stages. Or you can say, oh, I'm going to dedicate my life to this and play the longest setting of everything. And then there's a setting in between as well. It was that level of flexibility we wanted to offer to people, because we realised so many different people in so many different situations, and you know, you want everybody to be able to enjoy the game as much as they can.
I'm Kellen Koschel, and I just did my first Dirtfish course, which was the one-day women's course. My biggest surprise was how calm it could be in the car, and the calmer I was, the faster I could make the car go. The surprising thing about driving was that it wasn't necessarily a mental thing. I had to really get out of my head and into my body more, and I just felt a little more comfortable doing that for the first time around a group of women. But I will say, I do feel like I could do any of the Dirtfish courses now. I kind of know what to expect, and you know, hopefully more women get into motorsports, and then any day could be an all-women's day if just enough of us are in the sport. If I were talking to someone who was thinking about taking a class but was kind of on the fence, it would be, you know, what are you waiting for? It's such a fun experience. You're going to really learn something, and you're going to push your limits, and maybe you'll even have some more confidence.
Now, we've talked a lot about the sort of WRC elements of the game. I'm thinking particularly now in terms of the vehicles. I want to get into this. First and foremost, whose decision was it to include the added Formula 2 kit cars? Because whoever they are, they deserve a raise. Immediately deserve a raise.
There's a ring of, well, I'd say everyone's an enthusiast that works in the game, but there's a smaller ring of young chaps that come up with a wish list. Yeah.
How many messages I get on a day from that group of people, and I have to filter their dreams. Look, it's a really great problem to have, that I have so many people passionate on the team sending suggestions for what cars they want, what slight variation of that car they want, what livery they want it to wear, this, that, and the other. And I'm like, okay, let's get them on the list. Let's prioritise them. Let's see what makes sense. See what's licensable. It's a great problem to have. And we've ended up with some fantastic cars as a result of that process. Some of them are quite obscure picks, and what I love seeing though is when like the social and community team feature one of our more obscure picks on a post or in a video or something, and you look in the comments and the outpouring of love from the diehards for that, it's really enjoyable.
Yeah, there are some really I don't want to say oddball, but there are some unique choices and new to at least rally games of this generation. I'm thinking particularly the Mitsubishi Galant is different. The Cordoba WRC, I think, caught a lot of people out. As I say, I'm a big fan of the British Rally Challenger from the late 90s. So the Formula 2 stuff, the Astra in that livery, the Golf, the Megane, all that stuff really floats my boat. But there's like the Hillman Avenger as well. Has that ever been in a rally game before? I honestly don't know if it has.
I'm sure if I give you an answer, someone will correct me later. We don't like it. Certainly hasn't been in any recent ones. No, that was a real labour of love. That one was the Astra. I don't know if you've had a chance to play it in game and then watch like onboard footage of it. Sound exactly the same, which is brilliant. And a lot of love for that here. Although I always trip over whether I'm supposed to call things Vauxhall or Opel. The Galant, see if you can drive it while you're here today. It is like the weight of that beast is something else. And then the Cordoba, one of the guys on the design team said, if there is nothing else that I write down or choose makes it into game, I want it to be the Cordoba. Please, please, please. And he has his wish.
There you go.
He even has a little model car of one on his desk. So
just to remind me on a daily basis the commitment we made to it. It's great that the love these cars are getting when people see them on the vehicle list. It makes it all worthwhile.
One obvious key part with these cars is the sound of them, the handling of them, all this stuff. John, this is very much your wheelhouse. We don't have all day, so we can't go into all the nitty-gritty, but just give us, I guess, a brief idea of how you take, because it's very easy to think, I want this car in a game, but how do you actually get that right, essentially?
A lot of work from a lot of different departments. If we look at the vehicle artists, on the older cars, typically, we have to source one to go and get a photographic reference of, or what we've done a lot of is actually 3D scan them as well. If it's a new car with a manufacturer that's competing in the rally world, we can approach them to see if they could supply us with the 3D CAD on their side, which is really helpful. The models themselves in this game, we've pushed the boundary there, which I think we may have not talked about enough, but we have increased the quality there and the team do a fantastic job. It's one of the things that really stands out is just how fine of detail they go into on every aspect. And a lot of it just comes down to research and making sure that you recreate that in game. And the same goes for the handling team. They're so passionate about what they do. They do a lot of research online of the specification of the car in terms of what type of suspension, differentials, and a lot more things that car has.
That was a big grin as well. You can't see that in podcast form, but that
yeah.
The filing cabinet of tech specs is starting to make the floor bow now. Yeah. The level of research is incredible, they do.
Yeah. So, but then putting that into, how do they translate that into the game? Well, they've got very good tools to work with in terms of setting up different types of suspension, differential types. So out of the box, when they look at that car in real life and they put it all into, let's call it their system, they get quite a good outcome from the get-go, but then it's fine-tuning the characteristics of that car. So they'll take a look at videos, they'll listen to driver interviews to really get an idea of what that car is all about, like what makes it special. Is it that the rear is really swingy and that it's very loose? Is it that it's prone to being a little bit bogged down in a certain part of the range, which you'll find the S2000 cars, they didn't do too well when they're off the torque ban of the naturally aspirated engine. That's something we have in game, and me and Ross didn't have to go and tell the guys to do that. They just do the research and we get that in game. So it's down to just passion, I would say.
The iterative work they do as well with you and Ryan Champion, who's our other kind of handling consultant that we work with. The days that you guys spend in the handling test room tweaking things with the handling team is incredible. And the, you know, between John and Ryan, we can generally find someone who's driven every single car and is an expert on the subject. And I know that's been a big thing for the handling team as well, is having those real world insights from you both and from your contact lists. It really helps bring the character of each car to the forefront.
You probably had worse days of work, John, have you, than trying to perfect handling of a car for a new video game?
Yeah, it's such a dream job, and every day you're doing something different, whether that's setting up pace notes or giving feedback on a specific car and the handling of it, then working on design of a feature in the game. So it's you're always doing something different, which is really nice. Definitely enjoy it. And it's like Ross just said, you know, when you get to work with someone like Ryan Champion and the team who have so much experience as well, I learn a lot at the same time, which is very cool. If we look at Ryan, he's got so much experience of those historic cars. He gets to drive them at places like Goodwood and, giving tuition and setup for drivers who owns, you know, some of the Group B cars and, let's say, the rear-wheel drive cars of the 70s or 80s. So it's very cool. And then to give love to our sound team, you know, they do such a fantastic job. Like, that's such a big element of what makes you feel like you're in that car. It's the sound team.
Yeah, I mean, it's been something that our previous games, you know, have won awards for, is the work the audio team do. And so, they deserve massive credit, not only for that, but also because we've borrowed one of their recording rooms for today. They send recording artists out around the world to meet with the owners of some of these incredibly rare cars. They have made sure they've booked out airfields to make sure they can record the cars running, being driven in anger. The rigging up of a car for a recording, I saw a little demonstration they did of that, and the work involved is astronomical. And it all pays off, because you see videos that people have made of the game and calling out the sound and how realistic it is. They do great work, and we're lucky to have them.
I have to say, I've noticed that as well in the brief chance I've had to sit and play the game, particularly the interior noise of the car. It is like you're sat there. It's quite remarkable that you can replicate that. But speaking of, I guess the million-dollar question everybody's wanting to know, and I'm going to have to ask you this, John, because as much as Ross and I would love to say we started a real-life WRC stage, we haven't. Unless you've been moonlighting, Ross. I don't know if you got a pseudonym anyway.
Me and Ross are going to do a rally. Yeah.
After the last time we tried something like that, so we had to do, what was it? We were doing recording for something, and I had to sit in the co-driver's seat and read a lot of stuff. It wasn't pace notes, but it was a lot of words. And after 45 minutes, I just felt as sick as a dog. So as long as I can continually get out the car, get some fresh air, get back in, and then we can crack on, then, yeah, happy to be your next co-driver.
Well, we could let you drive and I'll be the co-driver, so that
you've
would
got
be...
experience of that as yeah. well. I've seen a bit of you that yeah, I mean,
so. I'm a bit worried that I'd probably dent your career average finishing position. But hey, if you don't mind that, then yeah, I'll give it a whirl.
Yeah.
But sorry, you probably don't want to talk about my non-existent rallying career.
It's good. It's good, but yeah, the real thing I think everybody wants to know is just how close is EA Sports WRC to doing the real thing? Now, I know you've never, as much as you'd love to, you've never sat in a Rally 1 car, but you've sat in pretty much everything else. How, sitting there in the proper sim rig, everything else, how close is that to the real thing?
I think it's always getting closer and closer. It's very hard to measure it, and I think that's something that's really hard to say exactly how close. But from my point of view, it's if it gives me the sensation that I'm driving that car in real life down that piece of stage. Like, does it give me the same feeling when I get a corner perfect, and you know, the way the car reacts under braking, on throttle, the amount of slip from the tires? It's if all that stuff is in, let's say, in the right window where it gives you the right feelings and all comes together. I think that's what we do really well, is that every aspect gives you the right sensations to get lost in the game, and yeah, it feels like reality. It gives you that same buzz, and you get into flow where it's just like listening to the co-driver calls and let's say dancing with the car and setting it up. So yeah, I think it'll be interesting, because also we have some one-to-one replicas of stages. Some of them are like very close to that area of the rally, but some are like direct replicas. So I think we're getting more closer to, you know, drivers being able to, let's say, get used to a certain type of rally, what makes that rally unique, driving a game, and, you know, try to learn how they should position the car and learn that stage is something that's quite unique. So yeah, I think it's getting very, very close, and you know, for me, I love it. I've been using it to train. I've been in a privileged position to be able to do that, but I've been using it to train for rallying, and you know, I think we do everything really well, and it gives me that sensation that I get in real life.
I'll sneak in one final one. I know we're running a little bit out of time, but just you talking about the realism of some of the stages, we haven't actually mentioned any of the WRC drivers. Actually, I know you've had feedback from, they've all tried the game. How much have they given input into what you've done, and what has their feedback been about what you have managed to produce?
I mean, the most prominent feedback, I think, was from Calais's video with us in Sardinia. You know, to see him have a go on the game for the first time, and you know, the reports tell me he had to be dragged out of the chair. He just wanted to stay on it, and you know, that's super encouraging when you get feedback like that. I know they've had a session recently where I think nearly all of them, everyone who wanted to, got to have a go. There was a few little pointers here and there which we gratefully took on board, but overall, you know, I feel quite comfortable saying they were impressed by what we've done. Even some of the guys who were a little bit sceptical, or perhaps have a game they're more fond of from yesteryear. They were like, "Oh no, actually, yeah, I think what you're doing here is gonna trump all that." It's like, brilliant, great, that's all we needed to hear. I mean, in terms of working with them regularly, that's something quite difficult to pin down due to their incredible schedules. And obviously with John and Ryan, we have all of our needs covered throughout the most of development. And then yeah, to get the WRC drivers kind of feedback now that we're at this point and they can see what the game's really going to become. And it's been a real boost for the team as well. So.
Very good. I think it's probably safe to say that it's something you can be proud of. I'm sure you all are. We're at this point now, as recording as mentioned at the start, the game isn't out. So this is always, I guess, the nervous part when you sit and wait for how many are going to get sold, what's all the feedback going to be. But the community feedback so far from the guys that have had a chance to play it has been great.
Yeah, really, really great to see so many people having such a great time with it. You know, it's been a long development road, and yeah, you do always have the nerves at this point in time. Also, so busy that don't have a lot of time to focus on the nerves, so it works out all right. But no, things are looking very positive, and just can't wait for release day to arrive so that everyone can play it, really.
Well, gentlemen, thank you very much for your time. Thank you for today having me down here to embarrass myself on the sim, but also to talk and learn a bit more about the game. I appreciate your time.
Thanks for having us. Great talking to you.
Thank you.